We're back to Neil Haley Show, and I'm excited first to welcome my co-host, Paul Hollis, author of the Hollow Man series. Paul, how are you, man? I know you're excited about our guest.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm excited about talking to you, Allie.
Yes, so our guest today is Allie Colleen, country music star. How are you, Allie? Thanks for stopping by. And let's talk about, first of all, did you always want to be a musician? Was that something growing up as a singer? Is that something you wanted to do?
Always. Yeah. I don't think anything else really crossed my mind in the sense of like, I love animals. If I had a plan B, we'd go with animals, but it's always been music.
And so growing up in Oklahoma, is that something you says always been music? Who were the musicians you were listening to?
My whole relationship with music has always been pretty isolated. It's always been me and music, you know, in the back of my, closet, or by the time I was 16 and I could drive, it was just me in the car, you know what I mean? But for a very long time, it was just me and music. It was just me and writing. And I started writing when I was like 8 or 9. I loved writing like jingles and songs and stuff like that. But I think it like really came together for me probably like 14 or 15 when I started playing guitar, you know, and then you have a whole song to show somebody opposed to like, you want to listen to me sing, watch this. So that was really cool. Just getting to grow up like with a guitar, like as my friend, and like kind of do it in that way. So all of that to say, there's a lot of people that I look up to in music. But the sound and what I write about and all that kind of stuff always was just kind of a little personal thing for me.
You're creating it yourself, coming up with your own creativity, it sounds like then.
It's weird to word it like that, because then you sound cooler than you are. I was just trying things and then I enjoyed what stuck. So
what musicians do you like growing up? Did you watch and listen to?
Growing up, country music wasn't something that I was around a lot, which I think always kind of surprises people. But there were those staple voices in my house a lot of like Randy Travis. And I'm a huge Jody Messina fan. I loved Jody and like Jamie O'Neill growing up. Those were kind of my girls that I loved so much. I just loved what they chose to write about. And then since I was probably 14 or 15, I've been a huge Cody Johnson fan. He's always done the Kojo thing. And so we've always done the Alco thing. So picked that from Cody. Absolutely love what he does. But I'm a big pop kid. You know, I grew up, I was maybe 12 or 13 when like Christina Aguilera's like Genie in a Bottle album came out, and Kelly Clarkson on Idol and like all of that kind of stuff. So I was a big powerhouse female vocalist, like kid growing up. That's what I listened to.
Country music has changed so much, right? In this process, there's not one type of country music. There's multiple. And, mm-hmm. and what do you think what type of country music do you think you have? Like what?
We want to do all of them, you know, and across all genres too. I think that's a really tough thing for artists my age that grew up on playlists. It's like, we have to pick a sound. What are you talking about? So I love country music for the narratives. You know, country music is that genre that gets to tell stories, and you get to paint those characters in your head on what they looked like. Like I could tell you what every character in Don't Take the Girl looked like, you know what I mean? And like those kinds of things. So I cling to that side of country music, you know, those narratives that make people feel seen and really give you something to kind of watch as well as listen. And then on the other side, we really love rock country. Like that's been something that's actually been really receptive of me, which I was very surprised by. But we have this song called Halos and Horns that we put out last May, and that's kind of put us into this other little subcategory that we've also really, really enjoyed and is like very, very fun for me.
Paul, can you tell me some of the country music you like, Paul? Do you like country music?
Well, having grown up in the 60s, I'm sorry to tell you that. But, I was not exposed to a lot of country music, so it never kind of hung on with me. I grew up with Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and Santana and those guys, and they kind of stuck with me forever, you know. I've only recently kind of started listening to some music, but I can't tell you who sings it, you know, or anything like that. But I am excited to hear your music, Allie. I would like to know where to find it, and I would very much enjoy listening to it.
Absolutely. We have kind of a little bit of everything out, which has been really fun. I know today we were going to talk about Honest Man and Tattoos, and those songs are completely different from each other. So all of my music's on Spotify or Amazon or YouTube, any of that kind of stuff that you would listen to music on. And so you can find it. And I'm sure all artists are like this, but just don't pick one song. Just do me a favor, listen to at least three. Just listen to at least three, because they're all so different. They're all so different. But they're all about something that we really care about.
And you're definitely seeing specifically enough in that process of your music. You're right. The more they listen to more songs, that helps the algorithm, right? For you, for Spotify and different places like that. Playlist.
Absolutely helps the algorithm. It helps the algorithm a lot. It also just, I know for us, when we look at like our live set going on the road, we look at the streams, you know, and we look at who's listened to what the most and like, what are they going to expect when they come to a live show? And we try and we do a good job at that. And that kind of thing. So I really like to figure out what the listeners like the most from me. But with that said, I've just doing this as long as I've done it. And for as short as I've done it, I've learned that like my morale and my happiness on stage is going to be the best show. So as much as I like to say, we really try and cater to you guys, I do what I want on that stage and I have a blast.
No, you definitely, you, it seems like you have a blast at what you do. And your vocals are amazing. I was listening, just jumping right into your website and you hit me. So how do you have such great vocal? How did you build your vocals to have that sound? I could just feel it when.
Man, I have put aside like, and I didn't even do it intentionally. Just looking back, this is what I did. And again, like music was my thing. I played sports all growing up. But other than that, I was literally in the back of my closet or out driving fields somewhere like singing. So all of that to say, I've sang probably 8 to 12 hours a week since I was 8. In the sense of like finding what I like to sing and how I like to sing and like what works best for me. Anyone who's like familiar with just like the gym and like how muscles work and how you can grow and tone your muscles, like it's exactly the same thing. So there's a lot of different.
Really? I didn't know that. So you can. So how do you do it? So as a former professional wrestler, and I was a bad guy back in the day, and thank goodness you could see my vocal cords aren't busted out like some of these other guys. Their voices are so, I don't know how that happened, but I screamed so much and yelled and it was fine. I don't know. I don't have
You know, when you lift too heavy with improper form, you're just going to tear everything, right? And you're going to tear those muscle groups that you are not targeting at all because you're using them for other things. It's the same thing. So in Nashville, a 4-hour set is standard for like the kids that go and like play on Broadway and like play the cover sets and play downtown, which I did for a couple years. Your standard set's 4 hours. You can take a break if you want, but your crowd's going to get up and go to the next bar. So we usually don't do that. So all that to say, it's just that repetition of doing it over and over in like a controlled setting, right? So especially when you look at weightlifting and you look at those really high reps with a really low weight and like getting your form perfect, you can sing songs that are completely out of your vocal range if you feel it the right way. And for months, you're going to sound awful singing that song. You know what I mean? You're not going to hit the notes that you want to, but you're just strengthening everything that you have behind that vocal push to get to it. And it takes a long time. Like, I'm talking like a year and a half at least, like to kind of sing a song. So it's not like overnight success. It's nothing like that. But there are just ways to do it, I guess, long story short.
It's not, I'm like, okay, it makes complete sense, but it's like, wow. And so why do you think I didn't blow up my vocal cords?
Well, I don't know what you do.
When I screamed and I was at a show wrestling every night and yelled.
I imagine you train like you perform, right?
Yeah.
So imagine like when you're training, you're still making all the same noises, right? Not when we're
training. Oh, no, no, no. We're just doing wrestling holds, taking bumps. We're not doing the whole character development. That's learned in the ring every night wrestling. Now these guys are different. They're doing a lot of performance practicing in practice. We didn't. We would really just do wrestling, train, stay in shape, do all the wrestling holds, but the only way we become better is performing. So performing in an audience, that's how you develop the skill. And we were able to wrestle 6 nights a week. These guys now don't. So they have to probably do it a little differently.
Have to do it a little differently. And then two, it's so uncomfortable sometimes too, like performing when you're not performing, right? So like there has been several times where like when we do our full band rehearsals, like getting ready for like the year of shows that we have, we will usually either the last day of rehearsals do all of rehearsals on live, or bring in, you know, hey, like, who are our biggest fans that want to come in and like sit through a rehearsal day with us, so we have someone to perform to. You know what I mean? But I've learned that, like, if you can't, not even if you can't, it's just been really beneficial for me to perform in here by myself the same exact way that I'm going to on stage.
That's very smart.
You know, and it really helps me, especially with just like the cardio of like vocal control, like that really helps. But just even more so, like, I don't know, you don't want to go out on stage and dance for the first time. You know what I mean? You don't know what you look like. No. Everything feels weird. Everything's whatever. So like, I do a lot of my stuff full performance at home by myself. But I'm also like a weird perfectionist. And like, I don't want to see my bandmates watch me dance for the first time. I want to have it right before even rehearsals.
Okay, so they, at least you're figuring that out. And that's the athlete in you. All right, so what are your goals in music? What do you want to accomplish? What are your ultimate goals?
Man, I want to provide people with the music that I was provided with as a kid. And I feel like sometimes that seems like a really loosey-goosey goal or whatever, but there are a lot of different artists that at different times in my life gave me that album, right, that was going to get me through that season. And it's something that we try really intentionally to do, but it's also something that we really lean on God to get the songs to the people that they need to, or energy or universe, whatever you guys believe in kind of thing. Like, I just believe that there's such an intentional point of music. And so with that said, that's where the numbers come in for me. I don't necessarily want a world tour because I want to be that famous. I was lucky and unlucky to grow up in a household of famous people, and it was actually really, really hard. It was really,
so
really
famous
difficult.
People. Oh, we didn't talk about that. Go ahead. Who did you?
Well, I just did. I just talked about it. But I'm explaining my answer here in the sense of, like, I've seen what that looks like, and it's really, really hard. So when I look at my career and the world tour and all that stuff, it's like, that's what you have to do to reach that amount of people. Mm-hmm. To affect them with your songs. You know what I mean? Like, it's very much a job for me, like that looking at that lifestyle in that way. So all that to say, all of our goals, you know, they have the big numbers, they have the arenas, they have, you know, that lifestyle, but it's so that you can reach numbers, you know, like 10 million streams and 20 million streams and
you
that
just
kind of
thing. You'll let it happen. Let go and let it happen. It sounds like,
yeah.
I got you. Okay. All right. So best place people can find info and stuff on you and download your music now again is?
Yes. So all of our music is on all streaming platforms. Wherever you guys listen to music, you can find my stuff, Ali Colleen. I am most active on Instagram. Really, really active on Instagram as far as if you want to follow our journey personally. We do a lot of stuff on Instagram. Also on TikTok, Facebook, all that kind of stuff. But if you guys want to stream our music, Spotify and iTunes and Amazon, all that kind of stuff.
Appreciate it, Ali. Thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.